Psalms tonight, and we're so privileged to be here, and we always count it an honor to be back at our home church, and thank God, and I know you appreciate the man of God, but it is an honor to be able to tell people where that I go to church, and the one that I work out of is Bible Baptist Church, and for the people, but also because of the man of God, amen, because of the pastor, and I hardly go anywhere that someone don't know who that he is, and we're grateful how God has used him in these days and for the church and their faithfulness, and we appreciate that. I'm glad that love covers all sin. Well, I have been working, of course, the messages for the Jubilee, and I put one together a couple days ago, and I thought it'd be the first one, but I was cutting my field today, and the Lord said, go back to Psalms 100, and I preached this here probably 4 or 5 years ago, and but I always want to obey him. It doesn't matter what we think, it's what he thinks, amen? And he knows best, and so I want to honor him. Appreciate the pizza tonight as well. Psalms 100, the Bible said in verse 1, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness, come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God, it is he that hath made us, not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, enter his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, bless his name. For the Lord is good, hallelujah. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all generations. Now, the psalmist here, he starts this out, this psalm, with three commands. Number one, he said we're to shout. That word, joyful noise, Brother Danny, means to shout. It means an ear-splitting sound. We're in too many quiet churches these days. The average church, if you took out the four or five that said amen, it'd get real quiet most of the time. Amen. We want our young men to say amen. Well, then the older men ought to be saying amen. We ought to be the example. Amen. It's all right to shout in God's house. Hallelujah. I worry about that crowd that wants you to be real quiet. They go to a ball game and act like a Comanche Indian and come to church and sit like a wooden one. Amen. Oh, yeah. We ought to be more excited about the things of God than the things of this crazy world every day of the week. Amen. It's all right if your team scores a touchdown. Big deal. But I'm telling you, we're on the winning side and we've got something to be shouting about. Amen. Amen. Number two, he said to serve him with gladness. I said, I told Brother Steve, he's here tonight where I preached last week, and I said, you're going to hear a rerun. But God laid it on my heart. But you know what? The truth of the matter is, Baptists today, we seem to be so sad. And we ought to be the happiest people on the face of God's green earth. Amen. God has been good to us, and he's blessed us. And thank God we ought to serve him with gladness. Is it not a joy that he put us in the ministry, that he allows us to serve him? What a joy to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that he would even allow us to come before him and worship him and serve him. Amen. Amen. That he would even allow us to do that. We're to serve him with gladness. Then number three, he said, come before his presence with singing. That word means joyful triumph. Here's what's amazing. In the word shout, he said a joyful noise. To serve him with gladness means, it means pleasure, mirth, and joy. Joy is mentioned in all three commands. That means, Brother Tim, we're supposed to be happy. But the average Baptist is like that. We ought to be happy tonight. Amen. I'm not going to hell. You're not going to hell. That ought to make us happy every day of the week. I'm telling you, if nothing else, it makes you happy. The fact you'll never spend one night in the charred walls of the damned ought to make you happy. You ought to be able to say, glory to God. Bless the Lord. Oh, my soul. Oh, that's within me. Hallelujah. Because we're saved. Amen. Amen. Give you three or four things and we'll get out of the way. Number one, we see in verse 3 his preeminence. Now, his claim, he said, the Lord is God. Why did he state that? Because in the Old Testament, you see the kings and the judges and how the children of Israel, Brother Simpson, that how they would serve for a while and then they'd back off and then the Lord had to chasten them and put them under bondage and then they'd start crying back out to the Lord. But when they always left, they always went to Baal and Chemosh and all the other idols that they set up in high places. And the Lord said, I want to remind you, I am God, amen. I'm glad he is God tonight. I'm glad you're not in control. I'm glad I'm not in control, but thank God he's in control. I'm glad the Lord, he is God. Amen. Hallelujah. We find his claim. Then we see he's in control. He's sovereign. He's a sovereign God. Now, don't let that word sovereign scare you. It don't mean that all were even close to being a Calvinist, but God is a sovereign God. Does what he wants to, when he wants to, how he wants to, and he don't ask you and me for permission. There are some people, Brother John, don't believe someone gets saved in a different denomination. God save who he wants to. Brother Randy Holloway was a dear black brother in Bible college with me. And I remember several years after we got out of school, and he started a church in South Carolina. And his wife was there singing at Brother Ranger's camp meeting, about 900 people back in them days there in Taylor, South Carolina. And she sung on, Do You Know How It Feels? And of course, it tore that place all to pieces, amen. But here's what she said. She said, I was a teenager in a Methodist church. I was standing up in the choir with my robe on, and God showed up out of nowhere and said, You're lost and going to hell. And I'll save you if you'll let me. I'm telling you, God can do what he wants to because he is sovereign, amen. He can let a Joe Biden be in the White House. And thank God he can let a Donald Trump be in the White House. He can do what he wants to because he is God, amen. We don't understand sometimes why God allows different ones, Brother Craig, to be afflicted and why he allows problems over here. And it seemed like, Brother Sam, that these people never have a problem in their life. You know what? He does what he wants to because he is God. And so we see his control. Then number three, he said he's the creator. He hath made us. You know what that means? That means he can fix whatever's wrong in your life tonight. Whatever you're going through, Brother Lamar, whatever the problem is, if some of you in here tonight, and maybe you got a wayward child tonight, a wayward grandchild, can I tell you, God is able still to reach them. God is able, hallelujah. I told you back in December about my brother Terry getting saved. Well, my dad's sister called me about 3 weeks ago. She's 83 years old, and she said, Honey, I just want you to know, I found out I got cancer and I got on my knees and asked Jesus Christ to forgive me of my sin and to come in my heart. But they thank God, Brother Dave. I said hallelujah. I'm telling you, God is able. We underestimate the ability that God had. He can still save the drunkard. He can still put that family back together. He can still do what he wants to. Hey, because he is able, amen. I'm glad that he is in control, hallelujah. He hath made us, he said. Now, if we didn't know the Bible, by the way, some people act, we can believe they came from monkeys, say amen right there. But we know that God hath made us. He's the creator. We see his preeminence. But Grant, in verse 3, we also see our place. He said, we're the clay. He hath made us, not we ourselves. You know, sometimes we look around at our blessings in our life, we think, well, I've worked all my life for what I've got. Can I tell you, it's God that gave you the strength in your hands. It was God that gave you the mental capability. It was God, thank God, that gave you, listen, the ability to work all of the, everything you've got tonight, everything I have tonight, is because of Him. Every time we sit down at the table and we eat a meal, it's because of Him. Every time we get in the car, Brother Jeremy, and go down the road, it's because of Him. Hey, amen. Every time we go to the closet and get out another set of clothes to put on, it's because of Him. Every time, thank God, we get to go to the house of God, it's because of Him. Every time you're able to put your tithe in, because God has blessed you, it's because of Him. He hath made us, not we ourselves. Thank God, I'm glad He hath made us. Amen. We find that we're the clay. Then number two, we're under His care. He said we're His people. Isn't that good? We're His people. I'm glad that I belong to Him and He belongs to me. We're His people. You know, I'm nobody in myself, but I belong to Him. He's mine. Hallelujah. Then we're under His care. He said we're the sheep of His pasture. You know what that means? That means He's going to take care of you. He's going to take care of you. You know, sometimes we forget about the blessings of God. Sometimes we forget about our daily blessings that God gives us. Me and Patty, a while ago, as we pulling out of our driveway, and Brother Brett cut my grass yesterday, and I cut my field today, and as we were leaving, I said, did you ever dream that God would let us have a place like this? And we both begin to cry, Brother Sam, and thank God. I'm telling you, we're under His care. Oh, listen, I know some people, they want a Baptist preacher to be broke and poor. Amen. But I'll tell you, God knows how to take care of His people. I don't have any money, praise God. But I'll tell you what I have. I've got everything that He has given me. I'm telling you, Brother David, hallelujah. I had a man who helped me build that house. I'd have never got in that house. He drove over back and forth 2.5 hours every trip he made, twice a week, and worked for 4 months in helping me, and would not even let me give him any gas money. You hear me? Brother Dave and others have helped us. What I'm telling you is this. He takes care of us. I'm glad. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We can depend upon Him. Hey, I can't depend upon myself. I'm not going to worry. I know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I know, thank God, He is able to take care of you and me. We're under His care. We see our place, but then we see His plea. We see in verse 4, He said we're to enter with, enter His gates. There's some things that we ought to come to church with. I'm going to get on that in a second. But can I say there's some things we receive when we come to the sanctuary? Number one, we receive a pardon. Thank God for the pardon we receive at the house of God. Number two, we receive perception. You remember Asaph in Psalm 73. Brother Sam, he said that he didn't understand why the wicked prospered. Why it seemed unfair that they were living ungodly and they were doing better than he was. He said, until I went into the house of the Lord. And then I saw their end. You know what happens? We come to God's house, and a man of God will take the word of God, and the Holy Ghost will enlighten our mind and enlighten our heart. And what old Asaph realized, that this was all that they were going to have. But thank God, there's a better day coming for the child of God. It don't matter if you live in a shack down here, you're going to live in a mansion over yonder. Thank God, it don't matter of what you have down here. I'm telling you, there's a payday someday for the child of God. I'm glad there's hope beyond this life. I'm glad this isn't all there is. But I'm telling you, if there was no street of gold, if there were no gate of pearl, thank God, just being in the presence of the Lord Jesus, I'm telling you, that'll make it worth it all, just to be around Him for eternity. Hey, I'm telling you, he's good. Hallelujah. Amen. If he was the only one there. We see a pardon we receive from the house of God. Perception. Number three, the power of God. Number four, the promises of God. Number five, peace. Number six, perseverance. You know what this meeting has done, no doubt, for Bible Baptist Church? Give you a shot in the arm. Keep on marching on. I'm going to tell you, I preached at the Rock of Ages last month, being weary in our journey. We get weary sometimes. And you know what? We need a good shot in the arm. Just coming to the house of God, it'll help you. Amen? Oh, yes. Now, he said, enter in. There's some things that we ought to bring to the house of the Lord. The first worship service is recorded in Genesis 4 with Cain and Abel. They brought three things. They brought life, they brought their living, and they brought what they love. You can spend a little time around somebody and you'll find out what they love. If all they talk about, Brother Chris, is basketball or football or hunting or fishing, I mean, that's all they talk about. That's what they love. But Brother Danny, I like talking to someone and it isn't long. Jesus comes out. Amen. You find out what motivates them. Amen. Oh, isn't he the best thing to talk about anyway? Oh, yeah. Let me say, there's some things we ought to bring. He said, enter in with. Number one, our person. We ought to be in the house of God every time the door's open. Number two, passion. We ought to be excited about the things of God. I know you've been in church all week, but don't come in the morning dragging. Praise God, excited to be back in the house of God. Go home tonight. Get your good night's rest. Don't stay and watch television and fool with your phone for 5 hours. Get some sleep and then come in excited to hear from God what God has to say. Bring some passion when you come. Bring prayer when you come. Thank God we bring the possession of the Holy Ghost when we come. Can I say number six, bring people when you come. People don't bring people these days. I can remember back in the late 70s as a teenager that people just seemed to bring people. Back then, Brother Brian, there was an excitement that Jesus was coming. We've lost that today. And because of that excitement, Brother Sam, pews would be packed full of sinners. Because Jesus was on his way, and we got to get him in. We got to get him. Well, can I tell you, he's still on his way. And we still got to get him in. Amen. When's the last time you personally invited someone to Bible Baptist Church? When's the last time you've done that? That you personally said, hey, I want you to come to Bible Baptist Church. I told somebody this week where I went to church, and I want you to come and visit us. And they said, all right, I don't know if they'll ever come. I'm never here. Boy, I'm not a good member. But anyway, Brother Chris Simpson hadn't either. But anyhow, that's the way that it goes. Amen. I remember I was listening one day down to WTBI, and Brother Oliver B. Green said that. He said, well, I'm not a good member. I'm never there. Amen. But anyway, to bring people with you. And then can I say number seven, when we enter in, we're to bring our purse with us. Amen. We're to bring our monies to the house of the Lord. You know, it's funny, the people that complain about the preacher preaching on money are normally the ones that come 3 times a year. Yeah. You know, really that's all they hear is when they ask to just take up the... Most of the time, preacher hardly ever preaches on money. He mentions offerings and things, but most of the time, that ain't a message. You hear some of that missions meeting, trying to get our mind geared toward others. Amen. Can I say we're to enter in with some things we're to bring? Can I say, number two, there's some things that we're not to bring. Number one is strange fire. Amen. We know that God had killed Aaron's boys because they brought in some strange fire. Boy, we got a lot of that today. This nonsense of rock music and black ceilings and strobe lights. And you know what? We're just not going that way. Thank God, I'm glad the pastor ain't going that way. And if he's going that way, I'm going somewhere else, amen? But thank God I don't have to worry about it. What's wrong with still coming in and singing Amazing Grace? How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Thank God, what's wrong? Hallelujah, that there's a fountain that's filled with blood, a draw from Emmanuel vein. What's wrong with when we all get to heaven? I've been telling you, there's nothing wrong with that, amen. Amen. Don't bring no strange fire. Number two, don't bring sinful flesh. What do you mean by that? Sin, habitual sin. See, what I was going to preach and might do it in the morning. Been working on Ephesians on putting off the old coat. That song said the best thing I ever did do was put off the old coat and put on the new. Amen. Oh, yeah. I'm telling you not to bring. I'm telling you the church is filling up with wickedness and ungodliness in the day we live in. We ought to get right with God and come to church with a worshipful heart and a worshipful spirit, willing to worship God. Amen. Hey, I'm telling you, there's people today go to our Baptist churches and they drink every day. And they cuss God and they come to church and act like everything's okay. It's not okay. Amen. Amen. Sinful flesh. Not to bring society's fashion to pattern ourselves after the world. My goodness. Sometimes I see how people are dressed and I say, why would you come to church like that? It's like they're going down to the beach. They have no clothes on hardly. And I'm like, why would you want to do that? Why would you want to come to God's house that way? Why in the world would you want to expose your flesh in God's house when you're supposed to come and worship Him? Amen. And I know we don't have that problem here, and thank God for that. But I'm just saying, God help us not to bring that nonsense into God's house. Amen. And I'll be honest with you, that isn't popular these days. I've lost a few meetings over the way I stand, but I cannot help it. Amen. Can I say number four? In Ecclesiastes, we're not to bring the sacrifice of fools, which means vain worship. There's a lot of people who come in our churches on Sunday morning and their heart is not nowhere near being there. They just want to come and soothe their conscience. I like it when I'm excited to go. I was trying to hurry up and cut that field. And Brother Justin, I'm like, man, I got to get this done. I want to get in there and finish studying some more. I'm excited to go to church. I've been like y'all. I've been in church every night this week. Amen. Started Sunday morning, Brother Steve. Went all the way through last night. And you know what? I was looking forward to tonight and looking forward in the morning. Amen. And then Jubilee. And thank God for church. You can never get enough church. Amen. Now, your body will tell you can, but you can't. Amen? Some things that we shouldn't bring in the house of the Lord. He said to enter in with. But then he said, number two, his plea is that we would express gratitude. Be thankful unto him. Now, Brother Grant, most of the time we're thankful because of him for what he does. And boy, doesn't he do so much for us. But he said, I just want you to be thankful unto me just for who I am. Just because he's God. I'm going to be honest with you. We're not thankful enough. We're really, in the last days, he said men would be what? Unthankful and unholy. I think they run together. Unthankful. He said we're to express gratitude. Then he said, number three, we're to exalt him. That word, bless his name. Brother Lamar, you know what that word means, to bless his name? It isn't to praise him. It means to bow before him. It means to recognize that he is King of Kings and you're to let him reign on the throne of your heart. Bless his name. That means to exalt him. We're living in a day when our church are filled with people that they're not letting him on the throne of their heart. They do what they want to do without caring what he thinks about it. I'm telling you, he ought to be in charge. He died for your sin. Thank God he kept you from hell. The least we can do is let him sit upon the throne of our heart and be in charge of our life. Amen. We're to exalt him. We're to bless his name. He said, we're to express gratitude. We're to exalt his name. Then number four, and I'm done. See his proclamation. In verse 5, the first thing he proclaims is his character. He said, the Lord is good.
Amen.
Is he not good tonight?
Yes, he is.
No matter the problems we go through, he's still good.
Yep.
No matter the circumstances in our life, he's still good.
That's right.
I remember reading a little article one time, Brother Morgan, and this fella had lost everything. His house burnt to the ground. Everything was gone. And he was kind of pilfering through the rubbish, and he found a little plaque that had made it. It didn't burn up. And it said, thou remainest. Thou remainest. He's still good no matter what happens in our life. No matter the phone calls we get, no matter the visiting at the bedside of someone that's leaving this life and falling behind the hearse, no matter all of that, he's still good tonight. We forget how good he is, how good he has been to us. He's good. He proclaims his character. Number two, he proclaims his compassion. He said his mercy is everlasting. Boy, aren't you glad about that? But Chris saying love covers all sin.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
His mercy, he champions it from Genesis to Revelation. The mercy of God. Jeremiah said they're new every morning.
Yes.
Hallelujah for that.
Amen.
He said in Proverbs that a just man falleth 7 times, but he riseth up again. Well, I'm glad for the mercy of God. I'll be honest with you, the longer that you've been saved, the more you appreciate the mercy of God. This October would be 53 years ago. As an 8-year-old boy, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And I'll be honest with you, I have failed him a bunch since then. But I'm glad for the mercy of God. I'm glad at every time, hallelujah, we run to him and say, Lord, it's me again. I can tell you, sometime we feel like, man, surely he's not going to forgive me again. But Brother Sammy said he knows what we're made out of. He knows our frame. And I'm glad, thank God, that he does. And I'm glad he's merciful. No, he don't condone sin. But when we're honest and we want to get right with God, he will forgive our sin. Amen. You can get right tonight if you are not right with him. Then number three, he proclaims his consistency. He said his truth endureth to all generations. I'm going to tell you something. Standards have been thrown out the door in the average Baptist church. It is so different today than it was when I first started. Back then, you didn't even ask questions. Everybody just knew the way it was going to be. And they didn't get mad when the preacher preached. Instead, they say, oh, Lord, I didn't know that. I'll have to straighten that up. That's the way. Now it's, who does he think he is? Well, it's none of his business what I do. It's God's business. I love it when God has the man of God speak and something going on in your life and he has no clue. And only you and the Lord does, and the Lord rings your bell. I probably told you this, but I remember a couple years ago I was preaching. And this fella came, and the song leader, it was his brother, and he came to sing a special. And so I was preaching on being happy. And I said to him, I called his name, and I stand in front of him. I've known him for some years. And I said, if a man got a $10,000 bonus, I said, he'd be a happy fella. I said, but if he's walking with God and he's got the peace of God, he'd be happy if he got $50 bonus. So he gets out in the car. His dad hadn't even left the church. And he called his dad. He's still in church. And he said, why'd you tell that preacher I got a $10,000 bonus? Huh? He said, I didn't tell the preacher. No, the big preacher said. And his wife was sitting next and she said, hey, you know what? You've been praying because you work 7 days a week. You never go to church. And God's trying to tell you to put him first in your life and he'll still bless you and you can be happy making less. Amen. His consistency.
Amen.
Truth endureth to all generations. My generation seen a lot of change. And y'all that are older than me, Brother Laddie, y'all have seen more change than I have. Man, I can just remember. Praise God, you couldn't run from church to church if you didn't like what the preacher said. Because he's going to send you back because he's going to burn your hide too. And so you just couldn't go hopping around. You got the same message.
Yeah.
But all today, if you don't like what he said, you can go, they'll be glad to take you in. And they don't even ask any questions. They don't even care what you've done or where you've been. I mean, they don't care if you just got out of jail for robbing a bank. They'll put you over the treasure. What about that? I mean, they don't care. I'm telling you, there was a day when people had some character and the men of God all preached the same and they couldn't go from here to there and everywhere else. They'd have to stay where they were, get right with God, amen, and go on and serve Jesus. There's so many. I forget how many independent Baptist churches are in Chattanooga. I know when I was in Bible college in Greenville, our missions teacher told us, he said, fellas, please don't start a church in Greenville County. We already have 265 independent Baptist churches in Greenville County. Can you imagine that? You know what most of that's from? Someone didn't like what someone said and what the preacher said, so they went over and started another one. And then there's some over there didn't like it, so they went over here and started another one. God help us. What about, have you ever heard about just getting right? When the preacher preaches on something that we're not doing and we should be, Lord, help me. Amen. I'm telling you, I've heard plenty of people say, well, you may preach me to the altar, but you won't preach me to the house. The only problem is they never come to the altar. Amen. The truth of the matter is God's word has not changed and it's never going to change. And by the good grace of God, I don't plan to change either. Amen. And if my meetings get less, well, oh well, I'll come in, move in with the pastor. Amen. Yeah, hallelujah. You know what? If you preach God's word, he'll take care of you. Preacher, I'm through.